Hello and welcome to Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Energy. I'm Leanne Pruitt, your host, and I have another really great interview for you. Nettie Owens is with us today. Nettie, I'm so happy to have you here.
I am just thrilled to be a part of this. Thank you so much for having me on.
You are very welcome. Now, let me tell you guys a little bit about Nettie and what she does. Nettie Owens is a certified professional organizer in chronic disorganization. She's the founder of Sapori Solutions, creator of the Take Control System for Organization and Momentum Accountability Program for Sustainable Business Success. She helps hardworking parent entrepreneurs break through their scalability bottlenecks, gain clarity in their vision, and achieve their biggest goals. Helping businesses get more done, Nettie Owens is a nationally recognized organizing and productivity expert. She has written the book on creating an environment that supports who you are, what you do, where you would like to go in your life. It's her mission to help others remove the obstacles and create a path to their life's work. I love that, Nettie. That's beautiful.
Thanks.
That is exactly why I wanted to have you on here. Of course, we're decluttering things. But the reason, the reason to declutter is so that you can have, so that you can go for what you want in your life, you know, live your goals Definitely. And dreams. And clutter really is anything that gets in the way. So I just was so excited to have you talk to us about that, getting where we want to go. You started your journey as a professional organizer, and I guess you still do some of that, but you've kind of morphed this into the, into the productivity, helping people with, time management and goal setting and that kind of stuff. Tell me a little bit about your journey.
Sure. Yeah. So it started even before the productivity. I was assistant director for database services and a manager helping to unveil the software that would help translate paper records into digital records right when HIPAA was coming out and all of that kind of stuff. And then I started my company as a professional organizer. So much of what you were saying really resonates, as far as it's not really about the decluttering. Decluttering is a tool. It's actually just one of the tools that you have in your toolkit to get to where you want to go. If you think of it, think of your life as a journey, you're considering what you need to bring with you in order to get to where you want to go. And decluttering is an opportunity to let go of some of the weight that might be holding you down so that your journey is a lighter journey and more efficient. More enjoyable, right? You can think of times when you had to walk a long distance with a lot of stuff on your arms, and that's not quite as pleasant as when you can walk freely and move your body. And so decluttering is that tool that allows you to walk and move freely to where you want to go.
I love the way you said that. That's beautiful. I actually have a question that just came up. You were doing database and computer and programming and stuff like that. Yeah. And you transitioned over to professional organizing. That seems like a little bit of a jump, but I'm actually curious, have you always been an organized person?
So the short answer is yes. My former employer was not surprised. And at the time, the TV shows were just coming on. Like, they were really brand new. Professional organizing was still a very young profession to be in. And she's like, I could totally see you being on one of those TV shows. I was on one of those TV shows.
You were, yes.
At one point. But it just made sense. And for me, it's more about organizing the steps in the process. And what I'm learning about myself, because, it's a journey for me as well. When I first started, I really did have a focus on the stuff and the letting go of the stuff and how all of that gets you to a space that feels really great. But as I've sort of matured and understood the process a little bit more, the part that I'm great at is understanding the process that gets you from A to B. And that's why it's been not a massive transition to go from helping folks organize their homes, and not just that, but really create a space that feels great and gets them to where they want to be, to working with entrepreneurs who are struggling with so many different ideas and directions and goals, and then trying to create something that's going to be not only profitable, but impactful. And both of them, to me, I see them as very parallel, because what would happen is someone would call and say, I'm so overwhelmed. You know, my space is not reflective of who I am. I don't know where to start. And I need help. And so we'd go in and we'd make a plan. And it always started with, well, what are you creating? Where do you want to go? What does this look like when you have achieved, you know, organization? And we would define what organization looked like. And then the same vein, when entrepreneurs call, you know, they're overwhelmed, so many different directions, not sure where to go, not sure where to start. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of different materials that we're working with, but it's a similar process.
Well, you know, I love that. And that's actually one of the things that, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted you on was to talk about, of course, we can talk clutter all the time, but you're so wonderful at goal setting. And I wanted to dig into that. But before we do that, I want to back up and ask you, the name of this series is Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Energy. What does Ace Your Space mean to you? Or what does the name of the series mean to you?
Yeah, so Ace Your Space actually really resonates with me, because I believe that we all create the environment that in turn creates the actions and the direction of where we're going. So to me, the environment is not just the physical stuff, but it's all the things around you, the things that you hear, the things that you see, the things that you taste, all of that is your environment. And so when we ace our space, we create that environment of success, the one that truly supports us. And it's not the one that we're reactive to, but the one where that we create, that's proactive in allowing us to go, you know, to where we want to go. So to me, I mean, it just, as soon as you said that, I'm like, oh yes, she gets it. That's the right mentality.
Okay. I love that. Well, now in taking a look at goal setting and with the idea of like we're decluttering our life, I know a lot of times when people set goals and when they look at setting goals, they just, you know, they have too many things on their plate, their focus is divided. It's almost kind of like, you know, when we talked about how clutter can kind of divide our focus. And it's like, that's why it's often important to get that clutter out of there so we can focus. But again, like having too many goals is clutter in and of itself. So what happens when people have too many goals or like too many things they're focusing on or, you know, that sort of thing?
Nothing.
Got it.
Yeah. It becomes just an energy suck.
Yes.
And so there's very little forward action, because if you're taking one step here, one step here, one step here, one step here, mm-hmm. And then we're starting over, then you're going, well, okay, which step was I taking? And I forgot how I take a step here, because this road's a little rocky, so I have to be more careful. And I just took two steps back. Well, you know, when we divide our attention, when we divide our focus, when we have so many goals that we're trying to move in too many directions, we don't make any forward progress. Mm-hmm. And it's a frustrating place to be in. So we do need to be considering really specifically which goals are going to get us to where we want to be. If we looked at decluttering as a tool, goal mm-hmm. setting is equally a tool, and mm-hmm. goals are a tool to get to, you know, to where you want to go. So if you're like, you can have too many tools, right? You can have a bunch of stuff that it's taking action on those and knowing which ones to take action on and then focused attention to it. That's really going to get you the success or the forward motion that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of reminds me, you as a, you know, you were a computer major and you might appreciate this. I can remember when I started out as an engineer. I was majoring in chemical engineering. I did not graduate as a because I would go in the class there. We had this professor of, I think it was thermodynamics, some class like that. And he would give us the equations to use as tools. But you would have to manipulate. It's like, I could understand it when he told me about what he was doing, but I could not manipulate the tools and use the tools correctly to get to the answer. So I'm like, all right, this is not the path for me. But that's it. It's like, if you don't know what tool you're using or you don't use the tools correctly, you're not gonna, it's not gonna happen. And I guess it's the same thing with decluttering, goal setting, everything. So I just thought about that. I'm going off
on that. I love that analogy. It really makes a lot of sense. And there are, I'm sure, folks who are listening and watching who are thinking that, you know, where do I have tools that if I have too many or if I don't know how to apply them, they become ineffective. So maybe it's not goal setting, maybe it's not even decluttering, but there's something that metaphor makes sense for you. And I just love how you brought that in.
Well, now let me ask you, what should people be doing if they really want to set goals that are achievable? What tips, what do you tell people?
So I don't want to stray too far from what's kind of the basis for goal setting. And everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people have heard about it. It's the formula SMART. You know, it's a great place to start. You can Google that. It goes back to, I looked up the source, but it has a long-standing history. And there's a reason why SMART works. So SMART is specific, measurable, attainable, time-bound. Specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, time-bound. So that if you look at, you know, a goal that you're trying to create and you use those criteria to say, is it specific? Is it measurable? Is it attainable, time bound, and realistic? Then you'll know, like, you have something that you could move forward on. Mm-hmm. However, you can have a SMART goal that's still extraneous. Like, you can write a really fantastic goal and still not get to where you want to go. Mm-hmm. Because before we write great goals, we need to know very clearly where we're going. And then we can use the tool of goal setting. And so I think this is actually where a lot of people miss the boat. If they'll get on and they'll say, this is a new idea. Let me write a goal. I'll set the intention to do it every day and wonderful. But if it actually doesn't move you forward to this, that it doesn't move you in the direction of this bigger thing that you're trying to achieve, it's not an effective use of your time, energy, or resources. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. I got on a call yesterday with a client, and this person said, oh my gosh, I have this great idea. I want to move in this direction. It's going to be amazing. And I'm like, yeah, that's a great idea. That's really good. Let's look at how that fits into your vision. Does this help you reach the people you want to reach? Is it going to help you connect? How many resources will it take to get you there? And at the end, it was like, this is a fantastic idea, but it's not necessary. And we could write a goal around it, but it won't get you where you want to go and you'll end up wasting your resources. So the very, very first step is to be clear on your vision.
Yeah.
And this doesn't change. Like, it's your vision is something that sustains no matter what. Mm-hmm. Your vision is not bound by how you will achieve it. It's just this, greater direction that you're moving in. Mm-hmm. So your vision is, at the end of my life, I would like to have had a meaningful life and a family that I felt I contributed to, and I would like to have resources around me so that I'm not hungry and I don't want to work all the time. I want to have time to play. Like, that's all what you like put into a vision. And that is an absolutely critical first piece. Mm-hmm. So from there, the goal.
I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you, please. Yeah.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's like people get the cart before the horse. So
exactly.
And, you know, one of my mentors, he's often reminding us, he's like, you're trading your life for this, what you're using your time for. So make sure it's worth your life, because that's what you're doing. You're trading a bit of your life for this. So like you said, it's like we can have a goal and you may even achieve that goal. And if it's not forwarding the vision, is it worth that bit of life that you traded for? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a phrase that says you can tell a man's priorities by looking in his wallet, basically how he spends his money. Yep. But a more accurate assessment would be how he spends his time. And so if you look at somebody's schedule, the tasks that are on their to-do list, that's going to be a much more accurate representation of what's important to them. And, you know, so it's really easy to have a lot of goals that may or may not get you to that greater vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so it actually becomes easier to declutter those goals once you have clarity on your vision, because you can measure it up against it and say, does this align with where I'm going? Is this going to get me there? If, for instance, I'm going to bring this up just because when I was teaching goal setting regularly and teaching decluttering regularly and all of the things that went with it, this one metaphor analogy just came up over and over again, and people went, oh yeah, okay. So it was the analogy of like losing weight, right?
Right.
You can lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could go on any diet that's out there, any fad that's out there. You could lose 15 pounds, whatever that is, but what's the vision? If there's no clear vision of how that gets you to having a better life, then there's not going to be, then that work is either endless because you can always lose more weight, or you lose it and you gain it back because there's a lot of focus there, or just ineffective because you'll get to that 15 pound mark and go, well, okay, it was smart. Mm-hmm. It was specific, measurable, attainable, all of that kind of stuff. But now what? Like, there's no next step. And so it feels meaningless to do that. So without that clear vision, you can't really come up with accurate goals. But with it, the goals are easy. And so what I recommend is for you to become very clear on your bigger life vision and then break it down. So become clear on what you want for the next 30 days. Like in 30 days from now, what would you like your life to look like? And the reason why we shorten that gap a lot is because so often folks will say, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. Well, we give ourselves permission to not do it when we make it so far in front of us that we're like, oh, you know what? It's 5 years down the road. So I can start that tomorrow. You know, we don't have to start it today. 30 days, you better get cracking because it's going to come up pretty quickly.
Well, and you know, and it's absolutely the same way. I mean, it's like, you know, well, and of course, like weight is just another form of clutter. So it's like, that perfectly fits in, but it's the same thing. It's like you can clear out those piles. I'm actually looking, I've got a little stack of notebooks that needs to be cleared out over there.
Right.
But it's like you don't clear the clutter just for the sake of decluttering. It's like you've got to have some reason, some why, something that is important to you on the other side of that clutter.
Right. And even when I was only talking about organization in the past, I tried to make it clear that it's not about the clutter, and it never was, and it never, ever will be about the clutter. The clutter is just a manifestation of, you know, whatever else is going on. So if you're so focused on the clutter that you miss all of these other things, then it's just going to be a more difficult journey until you figure it out that it's not about the clutter. So looking at that stack of notebooks, if you focus on the clutter, then your mind might say something like, there's 10 notebooks and I'm going to declutter 50% of them. And so I'm going to pick 5 notebooks to let go of. If you instead shift your focus to the vision, your why, You could say my desire for this space is a clear desk. So whether I have 10 notebooks on my desk or one notebook on my desk, it's taking up space that I don't have, and I can let go of all of them. And it actually might feel better and be an easier decision instead of going, well, which is my favorite? Which one do I use? Which one don't I like? Which one I like to let go of? Which one's no longer serving me?
And it's joy.
I know, you almost like come up with too many questions instead of just, does this fit into the life that I'm creating? Right. Yes or no?
I love that. That is so good. Well, now let me ask you a question. Are productivity and goal setting different for men and women? Is there a difference in how men and women approach that?
So men and women, I'm gonna use men and women, but what I would like to invite our listeners to think about is masculine versus feminine energy. Masculine energy is very structured. It's very, it's more black and white. There are fewer gray areas. It's easy. It's very like check the boxes, create the systems, you know, A to B, linear, that kind of thing. Feminine energy is much more colorful, more like gray areas. There's creativity in there, there's vulnerability in there, and it's like there's a broader spectrum of emotional expression in there. So if we think of it kind of like, that's what I'm thinking of. So you may know some men that are more feminine and some women that are more masculine, and that's fine. Just want to throw that out there, just so you know, whoever that resonates with. But there is a difference between masculine and feminine productivity and goal setting, because of exactly what I just said, because of that difference between masculine and feminine energy. So the other place where this might crop up is people who would identify as ADHD, you know, would also kind of say that productivity looks different for them. Yes. And this linear fashion just doesn't seem to fit and resonate with how they think and how they do things. Mm-hmm. Things to consider if you're in that feminine energy space are that this idea of vision, it's not even optional for you. You have to have that clear vision. Checking boxes may seem like you're progressing, but ultimately you might feel less fulfilled. And so what will be more important is how you feel about what you're approaching, how you feel about the organizing project, how you feel about the goals that you're setting, how you feel when you sit down to work. And so changing and shifting your energy before you do any of this kind of work or think about productivity is going to be an important aspect for you. It's important for men too, but it just shows up differently, you know, between the energies that we're talking about here. So the other thing is that you're going to want to find ways, you know, tapping into that feeling to express more, you know, express more emotion while you're going through the process, and express more and be open to allowing yourself to feel. You could open a drawer and suddenly become overwhelmed because you remember, you know, the last time you opened the drawer, your grandmother was with you and now she's not there anymore. And so you have this opportunity to process and go through and that kind of thing. If you ignore that, your productivity is going to slump. If you ignore the fact that you have certain cycles during the month where you have higher or lower energy, your productivity is going to not be as effective as if you tapped into that. So there's so much that you can tap into in feminine energy that can amplify your productivity. But if you try and work like a man, you're going to be frustrated and you're going to be tired and you're going to feel like this isn't working and I can't keep up. You're right, because you're not a guy. Like, use the things that make you a woman and have that feminine energy to actually amplify your productivity.
Got it. I love that. That is really interesting. And so often we don't think about the fact that, I guess I've heard it so often that men and women think differently, that men are more compartmentalized and they can put things in boxes and focus on this and then focus on that. But with women, it kind of all...
It's all together everything. All the time.
And I think that there, it's like, even if you look at the brains of men versus women, I think it's maybe, is it the corpus, you know, I don't know, but I think there's a section of the brain that is like, you can see the differences in the physical makeup of the brain, which kind of shows why women look at everything, like everything, they consider everything, and they don't do that compartmentalizing.
They can have, so women can be kind of, dispersed in their attention. Just think of a mom, right? Like, the phone is ringing, she's cooking dinner. Not that we're trying to multitask here, you know, got a baby on the hip, little Johnny walks in, oh my gosh, I've got a boo-boo. You know, hold on one moment, get the Band-Aid, do the things, right? And she doesn't miss a beat. She's able to hold all of these concepts in her mind at the same time and attend to each next thing. And on one hand, you would say, well, we shouldn't multitask and we shouldn't split our attention and all of that kind of stuff. But the female brain's able to have this ability to kind of hold a number of different ideas at once. Right. Whereas for men, and this is actually, it's really helpful that men have this more focused attention. You know, dad sitting at the table reading the newspaper and nothing is happening. Like, it doesn't matter, all this stuff is happening. He's just reading the newspaper. Oh, Johnny scraped his knee. Oh, I didn't realize, you know, because his attention is laser focused mm-hmm. into what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And you just, it's more of just a recognition of the difference. And also, you know, for men, that's a, well, maybe I need to pull my attention up higher mm-hmm. and have a little bit more awareness of what's going on around me. And for women, it's a, maybe I need to do one thing at a time and slow myself down. So, you know, just kind of changing, becoming aware of and changing a little bit about how you're interacting with your environment.
Gotcha. I love that. That's very interesting. Now let me ask you, what tips would you give people to help them free their time and reclaim their energy?
So I think it's going right back to taking some time every day to imagine what you're creating.
Got it.
That's number one. Number two is, as a rule, pick four areas that you're going to focus on every month. It's not to say you can't do other stuff, but four areas where you're going to really concentrate that energy that all move towards that bigger vision. Mm-hmm. And so you can say, well, this month, I am, I'm going to be learning something new in order to go in for a promotion or a raise, right? An advancement in my career. I'd really like to focus on my bedtime so that I can, you know, get more sleep and be more productive during the day. We're going to be moving in a few months. So another focus might be, you know, starting to assess and plan for that move. And then one more thing that you're going to throw in there. So no more than four focus areas every month, but taking time to work, not even just imagine, but to work maybe 15 minutes a day towards each one of those. So where I said before, you don't want too many goals, and I still believe that, there's a lot going on for everyone all the time. If we ignore that, then you know, we've missed the boat on reality here. But if you are always thinking about one thing for myself, at least, and then, you know, three other focus areas, that means that you don't have 10 focus areas. I mean, that was really specific four. This is a challenge for a lot of people to say, I'm going to focus on these four things this month. And then once this month is out, I can change. I can say, well, you know, I got the class done. I'm putting in for the promotion. I kind of resolved my sleep, but I'd like to move on from that and focus more on fruits and vegetables this month. Like, you can change and change your focus areas, but put that attention. This is blending that, like, everything's happening at once, female perspective, with the hyper-focus male perspective to give a more balanced way to be able to use the energy that you have.
Good. I like that. Those are good answers. All right, I've got a couple of questions for you.
Yes.
What What was your favorite book as a child?
So I've been thinking about this one. You actually let me know ahead of time. And the book that I can recall reading over and over again was The Incredible Journey. It's the one where the two dogs and the cat get, like, I don't remember if they leave on purpose or they accidentally get left behind and they have to find their way back home.
They're going over the mountains.
Canadian wilderness, yeah. And I read that book a lot as a kid.
I love that. It's a great one. Now, when was the last time you did something for the first time?
So I would say on a daily basis, like, but that's kind of your motivational speech, you know, answer to it. And so I dug a little deeper. I'm like, well, let's see. I mean, because every day is new. Every day I don't know what things are going to be coming up, you know, what my kids might do. I have three children, and it's always an adventure to see what they might confront us with. But last year, there were a number of new things that happened. I did a ropes course with my daughter, which was a lot of fun. Actually, this past year has been kind of a year of new things. Right after that, my family moved, and we moved to a new place where we didn't know anyone, and we did it in a really short time, and to put the kids into public school in that new place. And all of that was really new. And then not long after that, another first time was going with my husband on a romantic getaway, but we went to Mexico. And while we were away, we participated in some, you know, like excursions, went snorkeling for the first time, swam in a cenote, rappelled into a cave, swam, you know, with just in there. There were like fishes and stalactites and stalagmites and things like that. It was very cool. So snorkeled in the ocean. That's a trip. That's a whole other interview would be the fun boat ride that took us snorkeling in the ocean. But yeah, just trying. I like adventure, and I often have to pep talk myself into it at the same time, because I like the idea of it, but then sometimes doing it is a little scary.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you did good. You got your quota up last year. That's great.
I did. And I don't feel like I should step back from that. I think I should say, like, that becomes the new baseline.
Keep going. I like that. That's a great idea. So listen, I think you've got a gift that you have for the audience, correct?
I do. I would love to share this 5-minute, because I know everybody's busy and you already have a lot of goals and things on your mind. It's a 5-minute productivity crash course, and it teaches you how to be more productive in just 20 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to share that. And I think the link will be included or down below. But if you want to just find it, it's at creatingmomentumprogram.com.
I love that. That's going to be so useful. And yes, y'all don't have to remember the link to it. We will have you don't have to remember the URL. We will have a link to it somewhere down over around.
Like wherever you need to.
Exactly. Wherever. It will be there. You will find it. So yeah, that's going to be such a useful thing. I may need that myself. I think I do.
I'd love for you to check it out. It's available to you. And like I said, 5 minutes, you know.
Yeah. I might can find that. I think I can. Yeah.
While you're eating breakfast, that's my time to get things done like that.
Okay. I have one final question for you. If you can leave people with one action that they can take that would help them declutter their life, what would it be?
I would say it's centering yourself, like being intentional to center yourself on that vision. I know we've talked a lot about it, mm-hmm. but once you have that clarity, you can see very without blinders what's around you that doesn't fit. More than any other, like 15 minutes here, you know, declutter half of what you have, does this spark joy, anything else, but really clearly looking at, where do I want to go? Does this fit into it? And sometimes you're going to be able to answer that question more easily than others. Mm-hmm. Some things are going to bring up like, doesn't fit, but I really don't want to let it go. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. You know, acknowledge those feelings. But I think that would be the thing, is just really, really becoming clear on where you're going. Then everything else becomes just part of the luggage, and you decide if you want to carry it with you.
I love it. That's great. Thank you so much, Nettie. Nettie, I have really enjoyed speaking with you today.
I've really enjoyed being here.
Thank you so much. And I know that the audience is going to get just as much out of this as I have. And audience, for you guys, thank you for being here with us today. I want to remind you to take a look at your email tomorrow. There are going to be two more really great Ace Your Space interviews coming up. And until then, I will see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.